of the three sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and First Holy Communion, most people remember the most about their confirmation. I was confirmed when I was 16 years old, my junior year in high school, and I was confirmed by Bishop Richard Skilba, an auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Bishop Skilba did many confirmations when he was still active in his ministry. I'm sure some of you were confirmed by him as well. As it turns out, I don't remember a whole lot from the day of my confirmation. I remember who my confirmation sponsor was. I remember I wore a red tie, and that's mostly it. But there are two other things in particular that I remember about my confirmation, and they have to do with Bishop Skilba. First of all, I remember after my confirmation, I remember my pillow on my bed smelling like the sacred chrism for about a week. Bishop Skilba was known to be very generous with his use of the holy oil at confirmation. So my hair was pretty well plastered with the sacred chrism when I went to bed that night. The second thing that I remember is something that most people remember about a confirmation mass with Bishop Skilba. As I said, Bishop Skilba was known to be very generous with his use of chrism, but he was especially generous if you were the last person at that mass to be confirmed. In that case, he would often take the remaining oil that was in the bowl and dump it on that person's head. Confirmations were done alphabetically at my parish, so being a Baumgartner, I did not have the privilege of this particular experience, but I'm sure the person who did, I'm sure their pillow probably smelled like chrism for several weeks. As we heard in the beginning of the Passion narrative from the Gospel of Mark, as we heard in that narrative, on the Wednesday of Holy Week, 2 days before Jesus' crucifixion and death, a woman came to the city of Bethany, where Jesus was reclining at table. And the woman took an alabaster jar filled with costly perfume. She broke the jar, and she poured the oil on Jesus' head. This oil, being so fragrant, must have filled the entire room. And even if Jesus had bathed later that day, most likely he didn't, but even if he did, that perfumed oil would have still clung to his hair and to his head. The following evening, Holy Thursday, as Jesus gave his body and blood to his disciples as food and drink, as he went around the upper room and washed his disciples' feet, the fragrance of that oil must have once again filled the room. Later that night, as he prayed in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sweet-smelling perfume would have mingled with his sweats, every bead of sweats being a reminder of the woman's gift and of Jesus' coming passion and death. As he made his way to Calvary the next day, not even the blood from Jesus' wounds, not even the spits of the soldiers, not even the overwhelming stench of wickedness and sin and betrayal, not even that could cover up the sweetness of the woman's gift. The woman had anticipated anointing Jesus' body for burial earlier that week. And just a few days later that week, when Jesus was in fact buried, her anointing would not have needed to be repeated. She gave a gift out of love. And because it was given in love, it would not and could not be overcome. For love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The gift of love never fails. For this woman, unnamed in Mark's gospel, the alabaster flask and the perfume within it would have been much more than just an expensive gift given to Jesus out of love. In the first place, we can think of this alabaster jar as representing the woman's past. This was an expensive gift, something that the woman would probably not have acquired on her own. It would have been given to her by someone else, probably by her family when she became of marrying age. And so it represented her past, her family, and everything about her life growing up. And so when she poured this gift on Jesus' head, she was giving him her past. This oil could have also represented the woman's future, since it was extremely valuable, worth almost a year's salary. It could have served as the woman's future dowry, or at least as a significant part of that dowry. And so when she poured that gift on Jesus' head, she was surrendering and even sacrificing a future marriage and all the happiness that would have come with it. And there was no going back from this gift. The woman did not ration out her gifts. She poured it all out. She gave it all to Jesus. She broke the jar. She shattered it. She gave a total gift, the gift of herself, her past, and her future. A couple questions for us as we begin Holy Week. First of all, we all have an alabaster jar. What is in your jar? What in your life, in your past or your future, do you need to give to Jesus? Maybe there's something in your past life that you just can't seem to get over. Something you did or something that was done to you. Give it to Jesus this week. Pour it out. Give it to him. Maybe there's something uncertain in your future, something having to do with your job, your family, your vocation, or your health. Give it to Jesus. Pour it out. Give it to him. The second question, how can you bring sweetness into someone's life this week? Perhaps there's someone you know in your life who is greatly suffering, who is facing their own passion and death, perhaps even literally. The woman gave this sweet-smelling gift to Jesus on Wednesday of Holy Week, and it remained with him, consoling him and comforting him the rest of the week. What gift can you give to someone in need this week? How can you bring sweetness into the life of someone who is suffering? So, brothers and sisters, let us bring our alabaster jars to Jesus this week. Let's pour them out, giving Jesus our past and our future. And let us bring the fragrance of charity, of love, into a world that is suffering. If we do so, our Easter will be filled with sweetness. It will be filled with sweetness. And not just because of the jelly beans and the peeps, but because of the love that Christ has shown us and the love that we have shown him. Amen.